T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The latest in college esports from the students that play.
Go behind the scenes at the schools that game.
The only place where esports are
on campus.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and the world beyond. If you're wondering why the set looks even more different this time, it's because, well, here in the state of Michigan, we are on full-blown lockdown. We cannot freely move unless it is for emergency purposes, and therefore, I am unable to get to the set, and a lot of folks are unable to get to the set. But we still want to bring you guys a show. So coming up, we're going to be talking a little bit about how the CV virus, I'm doing that so we don't get in trouble with the digital overlords, but how the virus has been taking over the college campuses all over the world, forcing a lot of students back home and essentially, truncating entire semesters of school. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Overwatch Collegiate Clash that's being run by Torque Esports and EGM Gaming. So we're going to be looking at that as well. Now, first and foremost, we're going to talk about those college campuses. You guys are used to us throwing it to UNLV for the show, but unfortunately, UNLV is closed. But fortunately, we were able to pull together all of the crew, or the vast majority of the crew, for this conversation. So first, I want to throw it out to Daniel Agbuya. He's at home right now. Daniel, how is this campus shutdown affecting you and your fellow students?
Well, honestly, this is something that we've never seen before, because we were going into spring break and we got the notice like, hey, once you guys come back from spring break, we are going to go completely remote. And for a lot of students, we're like, wait, what does that mean? So we're definitely breaking new ground here. A lot of teachers are now learning how to use stuff like Zoom. Some of them, not as great as others, but life still goes on campus, I guess, or on school, I guess.
Yeah. And, one of the main things that, I wanted to talk to you about specifically is the fact that this was supposed to be your last semester. You're a senior. You expected to get the same senior experience as everybody else, the whole cap and gown, the commencement, the walking across the stage, all that good stuff. With no gatherings above 50 people in many states in a state of virtual lockdown and people cannot freely move. How's that making you feeling? How's that making you feel with this whole situation right now and not being able to have commencement?
Well, if you were to tell me that my final year of UNLV would go like this, I probably would not believe you. Definitely not. Full disclosure here, guys, this is my second degree, so I've had that experience. Luckily in my life, I've had that. But moreover, I just feel like I feel bad for people who, especially for first generation students who this is gonna be their senior year and they're not gonna have the same experience that I got to before. But it's bizarre, guys. I really don't know what to think of this whole thing.
Yeah, and I want to throw it now to Jacob. Jacob, you're supposed to be returning to campus in the fall, in next semester coming up. And with this now out there and pretty much this is going to change everything. You know, how do you think campus and students will be changed? And how do you think campus operations will change because of CV, if you will?
Yeah, the sky is falling and everything is on fire right now. You know, it's kind of crazy because now the rest of my classes are online. And I have a couple of professors who do not know how to handle that. So we'll see how that goes. But then for next semester, we don't know. What if UNLV says, hey, you know, since this doesn't really work out, what if we just don't do a semester? Like, what if? You know, we don't know. Or because I would like to graduate and I'm on schedule for December. So things could clear up, but they also could not. So we all just kind of sit around and we stare at each other, you know, through cameras and hope for the best.
Yeah, it really is quite devastating. We also have Ethan and Kevin here. I want to get some quick comments from you guys, and then I want to throw one more question out to the group. You know, how are you guys dealing with it? And, you know, what are you guys hearing, you know, from the university, or how are your classes going?
I had my first, like, remote lectures yesterday, and they went pretty well. Like, I think it's just a matter of organization, but my schedule was hell before this, so like to be able to just kind of chill is somewhat of a relief, but I am supposed to graduate this semester, so that's kind of a downer, knowing that that's like we're probably not going to get that big ceremony. So that's been something I've had to like come to grips with, but obviously there are more important things going on right now than simply just that.
Just to reiterate Jacob's point, like I'm going to be on track to graduate in fall. And now I am concerned, like with the current situation going on in the world right now, like how is that going to affect my standing? Like what is going to happen in the fall? Like what's going to even happen like with my classes? And having those remote classes, at least here, like at home, because I came back home to California. And so now with everything going on right now, I might not even be able to come back this semester for a while. So just trying to juggle all that and just basically just taking it each day at a time is all I can do. So like, I feel like that's what all we can do is just kind of go forward.
Yeah. And the last question I want to pose to you guys as a group is that, you know, we're here usually talking about college esports. We're here usually talking about video games and stuff like that. Do you think this puts sort of a halt on the progress that esports has made, not just on your campus, but on campuses across the globe? Or do you see this as more so of an opportunity for certain campuses to say, you know, maybe there's something to being able to participate in something in the event of a campus shutdown?
I think the collegiate clash is already a sign of opportunity instead of no opportunity, because like a lot of schools, esports is their claim to fame nowadays. And so with all their other sports not being able to play, they could just play against people online in like the collegiate clash and win money for the school or for themselves. And so they're able to get their name out there more still in a time where no one's even able to physically meet at the school, which is kind of whack.
Yeah, on Jacob's point, esports definitely has that advantage we have over traditional sports, because, well, you can play it online and it can still be broadcasted online, and that's the big deal, because for a lot of people, a lot of people are missing that sense of competition, that watching something that's, you know, two teams going against each other, and esports can fill that void, and for a lot of people it is. I was watching with my dad the other day, the collegiate class, and he was getting invested even though he knew nothing about video games, but he's just so starved for competition
to watch anything.
Yeah, watch anything competitive that he's getting into it.
Yeah, that's definitely, like, I feel like it's a huge opportunity for esports in general, especially college. So I don't think they're excluded from this, like, because I think esports is the only kind of form of competition that you can really have, that the experience remains largely unchanged whether you are, you know, in person or you're doing it over online. So I think, you know, as long as people are willing to kind of like put in that effort and brave these bizarre circumstances, you can fill a segment that is currently like seriously lacking now that pretty much every other professional traditional sport has been postponed in some kind of way.
Well, it's kind of like college in particular, because like they've only started traveling to events like kind of recently, like things like the Mountain West Conference, like that's a, or for esports, that's a more common development or more recent development. So,
yeah, so
now
they won't even have to change much.
Yeah, like the Overwatch League, they're not doing it right now. Like, they're not playing, and that's one of the biggest esports right now. And, like, the Call of Duty League moved to online, but that's still, everyone's like, oh, well, that's a professional esport team. I can't believe they're playing online. But for college, since there's so many colleges, that's already been the more accepted method, is playing online. So, really, like, they're probably the less impacted esport in general as well, which is really
absolutely
cool.
And absolutely. And I think that's an amazing, amazing point, because that was the norm. You didn't see a lot of folks traveling, and people were already playing online. So I think that that is an amazing point, Jacob. But unfortunately, we are going to have to table that discussion here. We are going to be following stuff like this, seeing what college campuses are doing across the country to facilitate more esports competitions, at least throughout the rest of the semester. And maybe we'll see if there's anything happening in the summer for some of those students who may be returning to campus in the fall, should everything be okay. But we're going to have more coming up here on Checkpoint XP on campus, where we're going to talk about the Overwatch Collegiate Clash and all that went down over the weekend. So stick around, guys. We're going to have more coming up from Checkpoint XP on campus.
To celebrate Women's History Month, we want to highlight Michiru Yamane. She is one of the most notable composers in the field of video game music. Her rich orchestration has inspired many to create emotional and powerful music in video games. From Checkpoint XP on campus, I'm Diane, and happy Women's History Month.
I find something it hurts.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports. Your host, Norris Howard, here to bring you what is left of esports content in the wake of the massive outbreak going on, unfortunately. But I am joined by Jacob Brothers and Daniel Agbuya of UNLV, who are coming to us from home as the campus of UNLV is shut down, just like many other schools across the country. But there is esports content going on in the way of Overwatch. The Overwatch Collegiate Clash was put on by Torque Esports. Now, we talked about this a few weeks ago, saying that Torque Esports, which is traditionally known for handling sort of like F1 and racing esports, they are now doing an Overwatch competition, one that's pretty interesting. So Jacob is our massive Andromeda brain when it comes to Overwatch. So, Jacob, let us know, what is your opinion on the Collegiate Clash so far? And is it something people should be watching?
Yeah, this is definitely, this could not have come at a better time. This saved my next couple weeks, for sure. Because when I first looked it up, because a lot of these tournaments, when there's so many going on at once, you're like, okay, what's the general idea? What's the skeleton? Blah, blah, blah. And then for here, you go on, you watch 12 teams, not 12, you watch 8 teams compete in about 4.5 hours, so it doesn't even take long. You have 12 teams that are there, only 8 play a week, so there's going to be bye weeks. I'm not sure how they're organizing that, but there will be bye weeks. And this is the first week out of 8, with the final week being champion week. And it's structured like the Call of Duty League, to where, like, how far you place in the tournament is how many points that you get that carries over into future weeks. Now, we can talk about the finals and stuff, because I watched that in Band Heroes. But first, Daniel, you said that you watched it with your father, and I would like to hear about that experience.
Well, first of all, it was a great way to get that competitive competition-like content that we really need. One of my biggest issues, you know, like my problems I have with following tournaments is there's just so many teams, like countless numbers of teams. With this one, it's an invitational, so only I had 12 teams to follow and only 8 teams to watch per week. So one, that was so much easier to follow with my dad. I could explain, okay, what schools are playing? Well, these, this, and this. Well, and he's heard about all these schools. So he would go like, oh, these schools have esports programs. Like, yes, they do. And you know, I just thought all I had to do is explain the basic, like, okay, this is the point of the map is you got to control the point where you got to push the payload, and that's relatively easy to follow. And that's the great thing about the broadcast was they made it easy for newcomers to follow, which honestly, at this point, when we're having so many people start for content, this is a good thing, guys. We need to get that those eyes.
Yeah, and the one thing I want to throw out there to that point is that I felt the casting duo that they had did a very good
job. It was good.
Over the course of the entire bracket for that evening of explaining what was going on, but also not, you know, going too heavy into the
show. They're very normal.
Yes, very normal, which I think for where collegiate Overwatch is and for where that broadcast is living currently, I think that's intelligent. So, Jacob, let's go into a little bit of the match results. Who was playing? First of all, what teams are participating and who played and caught your eye over the tournament?
Yeah, let me just throw all the information at you. So, 12 teams are in the tournament. Is Wichita State, CU Boulder, Boise State, Mississippi State, Utah State, UNLV, what up, Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, George Mason University, University of Akron, Robert Morris University, and University of Texas at Dallas. A lot of teams. But of the teams that did not play this week, it is University of Texas at Dallas, Robert Morris, Akron, and Oklahoma State. So those four teams did not play. So the band Heroes, because they also do the band Hero Pool like they do in the Overwatch League. So the band Heroes, which how dare them for this list, is Winston, one of the best characters, Soldier 76, whatever, Sombra, whatever, and Lucio. So you ban two of the most important characters in the video game of Winston and Lucio. But, you know, it's a crime, but whatever. So the team that won this week, and again, it's just going to be a bracket every week, was Utah. Utah beat Mississippi State 3-0 in the finals. And Utah did not drop a single map, so all of their wins were 3-0s this week. And you may be familiar with Utah because we talked about them previously on the show when we were trying to follow the TESPA Collegiate Grand Finals. And when we got there about 8 months later, Utah had played against Maryville. And so since then, the only roster change is that Utah had someone named Zombie who was playing their tank. And Utah had complained about this player also, and it now changed to Dog 21, who was previously standing. And yes, so,
And let me tell you something. If you watch, you know, especially that semifinal and finals match, Dog 21,
he's nuts.
Phenomenal.
He's nuts.
Absolutely phenomenal on D.Va. Not so much in how many ultimates that he ate or the defensive play, but when you looked at that kill feed, it was filled with Dog 21 peeling and taking care of enemies and cleaning up enemies. Dog 21 was absolutely awesome throughout the tournament.
Well, what I can say is that a team that is more D.Va-led than Ryan-led is a very different team. Like, they play very differently. And they were using Ryan, Utah, but he wasn't, like, the name. He wasn't the main guy. He wasn't the story. And so, except for Map 3 of the finals, the team comps that we were seeing more or less was McCree, May, Reinhardt, D.Va, Brigitte, and Moira. Changes here and there, but for the most part, that was it. So what I saw from Utah, which they played completely different than when they played Maryville, because they won, and they won hard.
They even beat our hometown boys.
They did beat our hometown boys in the first round. Reinhardt's Koblart. Koblart is nuts. He was their McCree. So he's hitting like every shot. He's getting at least one kill with his Deadeye. He knows the definition of value. But also, Cool ABC was their May. And I don't think I've seen a better May player in focusing on watching Overwatch, because when you're playing as May, there's so much more that goes into it than just I'm going to stand there and freeze the guy. Like, Cool ABC was doing offensive and defensive walls. There wasn't one misplaced wall, freezing at the right time, using your ultimate at the correct time. And it was really, while Dog 21 was incredible, Koblart and Cool ABC were kind of what I saw. And Mississippi was a surprise contender. Because when the casters were talking about it, they're like, yeah, we didn't know what Mississippi was capable of, and here they were in the finals. And you could kind of tell that, because when you're watching them play, even though it was a 3-0, and the scores were very bad, Mississippi, you could tell they knew what they were doing. Like, you could tell their skill level was there, But it was, they were just being outthought and outpositioned. Yeah, and when you are
especially, when you look at one of their DPS players, Cobb, who was also playing on McCree. Cobb was great throughout the entire evening. However, when matched up with Koblart, you saw the difference. You saw just how much better Koblart was at the time, because Cobb could not get started from that first map on Lijiang, where they're on the control point, and Cobb was absolutely shut down, peeled off, separated from the team almost constantly by Dog 21. It was a situation where you saw how much better Utah was, but it was also very surprising to see how good Mississippi State was in getting to that point. But fortunately, I want to ask one question and then we're going to have to get out right quick. But for you two guys watching this, is this something that you will be following up on and following consistently and watching it, not just as an analyst, but as a fan?
Yes, I am now planning on that. And it appears that they're going to be doing it every Saturday, is what it looks like. And if you're curious about standing stuff, Utah got 8 points towards grand final. Mississippi got 6. CU Boulder and George Mason both got 4. And then UNLV, Boise State, Wichita State, Texas, basically the teams that didn't move past the first round, all got 2 points. So every team every week is at least getting points to move towards a grand final.
And right. I was watching sumo wrestling before this, so I need something to watch.
Upgrade. Big upgrade.
Yes, big upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know where you could watch sumo wrestling, but I don't know. Maybe ESPN star for content, so maybe they ran it. But right now, we are going to take a quick break, but we're going to return and have one more conversation with the guys about how, about what they are. I'm going to redo that out. So, yeah, I don't even know where you would watch sumo wrestling, but whatever. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break, but we're going to come right back and have a conversation with the guys about what they've been playing while in self-isolation. So you stay there. I don't know where else you would be going, but you stay there and return for that conversation. More coming up on Checkpoint XP on campus.
Happy Women's History Month. I'm Diane, and here at Checkpoint XP on campus, we are highlighting the women who have made the video game industry the success that it is today. Carol Shaw is considered the first professional video game designer while working at Activision. She produced the award-winning game River Raid. We thank Carol for being a pioneer and inspiration to us all.
I did the Octane cosplay. That was a thing. I'm probably going to leave that in the past. But if Psyonix wants to supply me with a high-quality Octane cosplay, I'm not going to say no. Cardboard Octane. I just want that in the game. If Psyonix can get that Cardboard Octane in the game, that would just make my life.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP on campus, your number one resource for collegiate esports and gaming. Right now, everybody pretty much is in self-isolation. Some states are ordered to do so by law that stay home unless you have very, very important errands to run or you are part of an essential staff member. So we are all stuck in the crib, playing a lot of video games and watching a lot of video games too. So I wanted to put a question out to everyone here on the show, to the crew. What are you guys playing while you're in self-isolation, or what are you looking forward to playing? So let's start with Kevin.
Oh man, I've been, I think, single-handedly keeping the player count for Naruto's Boruto Shinobi Striker alive. I love that game so much. I feel like In the massive pantheon of shonen anime games that we get, that was like really a diamond in the rough. I'm dead serious. I'm not kidding at all. I love that game. It's really fun.
Oh my God.
It's just like arena style role-based.
You might as well have said
the My Hero Academia game just came out that you could play.
You might as well have said Dragon Ball GT Final Bout. Like, I don't know.
Like, Jump Force. I promise you guys should give it a try. It's a legitimately fun game.
All right.
Like, there's a lot of different roles you can play.
Ethan, what are you playing right now, my guy?
Well, there's a ton of games. Obviously, you got Animal Crossing, but the real game nobody's talking about, right here, Superman 64. The best game you could ever get. Honestly, a 10 out of 10 experience.
Almost as good as Sonic 06.
Yeah, some would say maybe better, but that's a little pushing it. But no, it's keeping me sane, clearly. But all jokes aside, honestly, Animal Crossing has taken over my life, and I am not ashamed. I have a picture of Terry Funk right in the entrance of my island, so every time people want to show up, they get a CECW, and it's great. And I just love Animal Crossing.
Yeah, let me hop on there, because I've been playing good old Animal Crossing since the GameCube, okay? I have been here, I have grinded, I have 300 foreign fruit trees planted in my Wii version. And so when I told people that I wish I could stop doing everything and just play Animal Crossing, this is not what I anticipated. But now Jacob, I am here, and it is literally the only thing I play. I play maybe 6 hours a day, just grinding, just because I know exactly what I want to do. When I see KK Slider, I will cry in his arms, and I am ready. And that game has taken over the world. And it is so crazy to see Twitter getting like 200,000 likes on a subpar Animal Crossing joke because everyone is playing Animal Crossing. It is, we live in a timeline.
It's true.
How do I follow that?
I don't think we even live in a society anymore.
Just a timeline.
Gamer, sit down.
Okay, fine. I'm going to be the most boring one here, apparently, and say I've been playing a lot of Modern Warfare. Specifically, I've been playing Warzone. Let me tell you guys, there's a reason why this game has overtaken Fortnite as the number one battle royale right now, because...
Whoa! It's good.
Well, it is really good. It's really good, first of all, and Activision has done a really good job of separating itself, because you had the Gulag, you have the, you know, the three squads, it now has solos, but it's just, you get the really good feel of Call of Duty, and you just get, it's just a lot of fun. And I want to put Kevin on blast for team killing us during one of our scrims. You jerk. How do you blow up your own helicopter when I'm flying it?
Monka-S.
Guys, it's not like I did it on purpose. Like it was for the good of the team. I feel like you have to like give me credit here.
Well, I'll say this. I too have been playing a lot of Warzone, mostly solos, because I don't like carrying people.
You got trust issues.
I got trust issues. But I agree with you, Daniel, that it probably is the most polished battle royale. Which
you can win engagements. It's crazy.
You can actually win engagements. You can actually flank. You can actually do things that tactically make sense that you really can't do in a lot of other battle royales, simply because everybody is better than you at every other battle royale.
Or it's PUBG.
Or it's PUBG and everybody's terrible except for not you. But I really enjoy a lot of Warzone. I'm playing a lot of Warzone. But I can't wait until Resident Evil 3 comes out, because I would like to look into the crystal ball and be prepared for what the world is probably about to turn into in 6 months.
In a good version of Final Fantasy.
Exactly. And Final Fantasy VII as well is going to be coming out, and I am very excited about that as well. But unfortunately, that is where we are going to have to end this week's show. I want to thank all the guys for taking time out of their day and joining us. I want to thank all the folks behind the scenes, especially Weird Beer, for making this technically possible, as well as all the support staff from UNLV that are continually here and continuing to be involved and helping out, and all in our group chats. Thank you so much. But a big special thanks out to anybody out there, or anybody who has family out there that are healthcare workers, healthcare providers, grocery store workers, Comcast folks. I never thought I would ever thank Comcast and Xfinity, but all those types of folks who are out there, you know, risking potentially getting very sick, but doing the work that we all need to have our society still function. So thank you so much to all you out there who are doing that great work. And we hope, and you really don't have a good excuse because you're at home, but we hope to see you next week for more Checkpoint XP on Campus. Stick around, guys.
Take care of yourselves.
Love you.
Stay inside, safe, please.
And wash your hands.
You need to put that game down.